and ridiculous.
Then
he's a fool.
Welcome back to the Voices from the Frontline segment on KPFK 90.7 in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. That was Charles Mingus and Danny Richmond with Phalbus Fables. That was the original version that actually had lyrics. Shortly after they recorded it, the record company actually didn't want to play it with the lyrics because they thought it was too insightful or too inciting. And I thought that was a good piece to open up our next segment with. The song was directed at Governor Phalbus, who was the governor in Arkansas in 1957, and he stood against desegregation. He actually sent the National Guard to prevent black children from attending high school in Little Rock, Arkansas. Today's guest, Laura Lipson, is the director of Standing on My Sister's Shoulders, which details the lives and the struggles of the women from Mississippi who became the leaders of the civil rights movement. Some of these little-known leaders helped build organizations like the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and the NAACP, to name a few. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, can you
okay.
hear me?
Okay, oh, yeah, there you go. Laura, why don't you start off by talking about the five or six main people in this film that you focused on.
Okay.
And why, and tell us why you picked them.
One of the leading grassroots leaders in Mississippi was Fannie Lou Hamer, so she definitely had to be included in this. She was someone who was involved with the civil rights movement on a local level, but also on a national level at the 1964 convention and in 1965 taking on the House of Representatives, along with Annie Devine, who's in the documentary, as well as Victoria Gray Adams. Someone else we highlighted was Mayor Eunita Blackwell, who became the first black woman mayor in Mississippi, and there's so many great women. Joan Trumpbauer Mulholland was a white woman who came as a student and got very involved and felt that integration shouldn't be left to the black students only, and she went to Tougaloo College as one of the few white students there. And then another family, Maybertha Carter, had 13 children, and she sent 7 of the children to the white school in their town. And the kids met so much resistance integrating the school there. Okay. So those are a few of the women highlighted in the film.
Okay. Laura, I wanted to actually get Eric Mann on this too, because I know he was a part of the struggle back then, and I was thinking that he can add some stuff.
Hi, Laura. Well, as I was with the Congress of Racial Equality in 1964 in Harlem, and like our previous guest, did most of the work in the North, and obviously Fannie Lou Hamer, Eunita Blackwell, Annie Devine, Victoria Gray were back then major historical figures. But one of the things that your film is doing, of course, is trying to write her story and trying to elevate the importance of women's struggles. I thought one interesting thing, sadly ironic in the film, is how the women say, well, we had to go in the front lines first because some of the men were just so vulnerable to the violence, and then the next scene describes them all getting brutally beat up. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what your objectives were with the film, and then the question of, I'm sure, resurrecting the historical role of women in the struggle, some of whom, you know, they're not as well known.
Right. So to answer the first question, I think the women did have to go forward, especially on the grassroots level, because Mississippi was considered, it was the state highest in lynching in the country. And I think for men were very vulnerable, you know, physically as well as economically. And so I think it's just amazing a lot of the women, even though they did risk their jobs. I still, they, I think Victoria Gray Adams says they were less likely to lose their lives. They weren't safe, but they were less likely to lose their lives. And I think a lot of them had a strong vision about their family and their children and doing this for the next generations. So I think their strength and their bravery in part came from that.
Well, let me ask you something. In the segments of the film that I was able to see, I think that you showed a lot of ways that you know, the women were very rooted in the church and how they transformed the rhetoric of the church. As you say, I think that you captured very well the actual protection of their own families, which led them to some very advanced heroic work. But I got a sense that the film a little bit underestimated the actual revolutionary and left politics of a lot of them. I mean, for instance, if you hear the KPFK archives with Fannie Lou Hamer, I'm sure you know that she was actively against the war in Vietnam, called it the racist war in Vietnam. Her experience with the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party led her to have profound criticisms of the Democratic Party as a whole. I met Eunita Blackwell, you know, maybe in the 80s, and I perceived her as somewhat of a leftist in terms of her ideology. Do you think that's accurate, and why do you feel that your film in some way didn't show that side of them as much as I think perhaps it could have?
Perhaps. I think there was just so much to take on, so many issues. For instance, you mentioned sexism, and that was sort of an aspect, especially in SNCC. But again, it was something some of them said we didn't, maybe the feminist movement was sort of a wave that was coming next. It wasn't going to be their battle, their main battle at that time. But I think there's just a lot to cover. So, and Vietnam kind of fell a little bit outside of our time frame, for instance.
Well, sure. And then why don't you just tell us, you know, this is going to move more rapidly. Well, with Laura Lipson, the director of Standing on My Sister's Shoulder, very important film that we urge you to see at the Pan-African Film Festival. Tell us about, since every filmmaker makes choices, why don't you tell us about the choices you did try to make, and in looking at, I'm sure, a ton of actual rough footage. Tell us some of the choices you made and why you made them.
Well, I think that came together with the editor, Deanne Sakaguchi. We did have a lot of material, and there were so many fantastic stories, and I think we tried to include as many stories as we could, and have while having a cohesive film, of course. And I think we focused on voting and schools, education. And we tried to pull in the stories that best supported that. And I knew from the beginning that we would probably end at the point where the women took their politics and their struggle to the national level. So everything kind of built towards that, and we wanted to show what it was like to be in Mississippi, the struggle, the fears, what made it so hard to even do simple things and things we take for granted today, like just even registering to vote, not even voting itself, but registering to vote. So we just tried to find the stories that integrated that, but also some of the people, like Eunita Blackwell, you mentioned her, she popped out right from the beginning. She was just an amazing woman, and we knew that her story had to be included, and it also pertained. So I think it was kind of a back-and-forth struggle of getting the dramatic arc in there and getting the stories that supported voting and education.
We're talking to Laura Lipson, who's the director of Standing on My Sister's Shoulders, which will be playing at the Pan-African Film Festival on Sunday, February 8th at 5:15 p.m., as well as Monday, February 16th at 1:30 p.m. Laura, I know that you put a lot of things and actions and events in 60 minutes.
Right.
I wanted to ask you, if you had another 15 minutes,
right,
what are some of the other things that you would want to add into it to actually, you know, some of the things that might not be so on the surface, some of the more in-depth things that you were like, wow, mm-hmm. if I had another 15 minutes, this would be a really good thing to put in.
Wow. There used to be another 15 minutes, and now I almost can't remember what those 15 minutes were. I think there were some really nice stories that didn't make it in, like a woman who they burned a cross on her front lawn, and her husband and son tried to hide it from her when she came home, and she said, no, we're going to turn a symbol of hate into a symbol of love, and she decorated it with green paper, and they put a light on it so it shined the cross onto their roof. So nice stories like that sometimes got lost.
Well, I think one of the strengths of the film is that people, this is Eric Mann talking to Laura Lipson. I think one of the real strengths of the film, as you just said, is that the fight for democratic rights in this country, it took a revolution, a literal revolution, to win the right to vote, or an international revolution. And I think you convey the kind of police state nature of Mississippi. I think you convey in the... where was the Woolworth footage you got? That wasn't Mississippi, was it?
I think it's in Jackson.
Yeah? Well, that was amazing. I mean, showing the actual... You know, a lot of people said, oh, well, it was nonviolent, you know, but it was nonviolent for the people who try to carry it out, but it wasn't nonviolent for the abuse and spitting upon them and 300 crazy people screaming at you. I think you really did a very good job of reconstructing why it took a civil rights revolution to simply sit at a lunch counter or, as you say, get the right to vote or integrate a school. I think that's one of the strengths of the film. And, of course, the other strength of the film is that the women in the movement, this is a feminist film about an element of the civil rights movement that's been understated and underreported.
That's true. I feel like their stories haven't really been brought to the schools yet in any major way, but their contribution was so strong. And I think it also gives a voice. It makes history down to the level of students. Like, this is what these women in Mississippi did, and they're part of history, and they really changed the course of history.
Great. So we were speaking to Laura Lipson. Again, let's get the time of that movie, Standing on My Sister's Shoulders, which is Sunday, the 8th of February at 5:15, and Monday the 16th of February at 1:30. Thank you so much, Laura, for joining us. Please check out her film at the Pan-African Film Festival. And we're going to be right back with Jennifer Abad, who is another director, talking about her film around Audre Lorde. We'll be right back.